Good morning, and welcome to the Fiscal Committee meeting. My name is Mary Jane Waldner. I'm the chair of the Fiscal Committee, and as the chair of the Fiscal Committee of the General Court, I find that due to the state of emergency declared by the governor as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in accordance with the governor's emergency order number 12, Executive Order 2020-04, as extended, this public body is authorized to meet electronically. Please note that there is no physical location to observe and listen contemporaneously to this meeting, which was authorized pursuant to the governor's emergency order. However, in accordance with the emergency order, I am confirming that we are A, providing public access to the meeting by telephone with additional access possibilities by video or other electronic means. We are utilizing Fast Conference for this remote meeting. All members of the committee and the staff of state agencies with agenda items have the ability to communicate contemporaneously during this meeting through this platform. And the public has access to contemporaneously listen and, if necessary, participate in this meeting through dialing the following phone number, 1-800-356-8278 and the six-digit conference code 125563, followed by the pound sign. B, providing public notice of the necessary information of accessing the meeting. We previously gave notice to the public of the necessary information for accessing the meeting telephonically. Instructions have been provided in the House and Senate calendars, the Fiscal Committee agenda, and the website of the Office of the Legislative Budget Assistant. And C, providing a mechanism for the public to alert the public body during the meeting if there are problems with access. If anyone has a problem, please email nheoc@eos.nh.gov. D, adjourning the meeting if the public is unable to access the meeting. In the event the public is unable to access the meeting will be adjourned and rescheduled. Please note that all votes taken during this meeting shall be done by a roll call vote. Let's start by the meeting by taking a roll call attendance. And when each member's name is read, the members should state their presence, where they are. And please also state whether anyone is in the room with you during this meeting. This is all required under the right to know law. And I'll ask Representative Weiler if he would call the roll.
Thank you. Representative Waldner.
Representative Waldner is here in Concord in my home, and I am alone.
Representative Ford.
Sue Ford. I'm here alone up in Easton, New Hampshire.
Representative Leishman.
I am here in Peterborough. I am alone, and good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Representative Weiler, I'm in my car at the DOT in Concord. It's the only way I can fit all these meetings together.
Oh, I'll tell you, that's excellent, Kitty. Excellent.
Good work.
That's excellent dedication, Ken.
Representative Hennessy.
Good morning. I am home in Littleton, and my family is in the house with me, and they'll be in and out of the room.
Representative Dallas, Senator D'Alessandro.
Thank you, Kenny. Senator D'Alessandro, I'm in my home in Manchester, and I'm by myself. And, Kenny, be very careful because those cars move and you don't know it.
Well, the problem is if I turn the engine off, I got to restart the whole process again sometimes. So. Anyway.
Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Lou.
Thank you,
Senator Susie.
This is Donna Susie, and I am in my home in Manchester, and I am alone.
Senator Kahn.
Good morning, Representative. Present in Keene, at home, and wife is elsewhere in the House.
Senator Rosenwald.
Good morning, Cindy Rosenwald. I'm in my house, and my husband is in the room with me.
Senator Bradley.
Jenny, it's Senator Morse.
Oh, Senator Morse. I'm sorry.
Senator Chuck Senator Morse. Morse. I'm in my office in Atkinson, New Hampshire, and I am alone.
Thank you. Madam Chair, we have 10 present.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Weiler, for taking the role. And we'll move on to the agenda. And the first item of business on the agenda is the acceptance of minutes of October 9th and October 16th. One meeting was our regular meeting, and the other one was the meeting when we had only audit. So do we have a motion?
Senator Kahn, so, the minutes of October 9th and 16th.
Senator Susie, second.
Senator Kahn moves the acceptance of the minutes of October 9th and October 16th, and Senator Susie, second. Any discussion of the minutes?
Hello? Yes.
Discussion of the minutes? Hearing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Yes.
All right, Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro. Senator D'Alessandro on the minutes.
Am I unmuted, Kent?
Hey, I can hear you now, Lou.
Okay,
vote
I
on
vote
the minutes.
Yes. Yes, I
Thank
vote
you.
Yes.
Senator Susie.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
I abstain.
Madam Chair, we have nine. Excuse me, Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, we have nine yes, one abstention.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Weiler. The motion passes nine yes and one abstain. And now we'll move to old business. And this is an item from the Department of Education that's been on the table. Is there a motion?
Representative, I move to take it off the table. Senator Morse.
Senator Morse moves to take the item off the table, and Representative Weiler second. This is a non-debatable motion. I ask the clerk to call the roll.
So, Representative Ford.
Votes no.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman, no.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes no.
Senator Susie.
No.
Senator Kahn.
No.
Senator Rosenwald.
No.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is three yes, seven no.
I don't think you called my name. Am I right?
You're right. You're right. Representative Wallner.
No, I vote no. Thank you.
Sorry, I read your mind. Vote is three to seven.
He's clairvoyant. Kenny's clairvoyant today.
Keep your eyes on the road, Kenny.
I'm not moving.
So is the vote seven?
A three yes, seven no.
Three yes. Okay, thank you. And the motion failed. And let's move on to the consent calendar. This is under tab four. And are there any items on this in this area that we would like to take off the calendar? I don't hear anyone asking to take any off.
Oh, madam, I'm sorry. Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yes, Senator Rosenwald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to remove item 20-251
okay.
And ask
item,
a question.
Okay. Item 20-251. I will keep that one separate. Is there any others that people would like to take off the consent calendar? Okay, hearing none. So we have a motion on all of the items except the 20-2-51. And we could
this
get
is Senator Susi. The balance of the items.
Tennessee seconds.
Senator Susi moves the items, and Representative Hennessy second. And I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Representative Ford votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman, yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro. I didn't hear you, Senator D'Alessandro. Are you muted?
His line is open.
All right. Senator Susi.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro, do you hear me?
Can you hear me, Kitty?
I do now. Go ahead.
Okay, yes.
All right, I have you down as a yes. Madam
Thank
Chair,
you.
The vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Hi, the consent calendar except for that one item passes 10 to 0. And now we'll move to item 20-251. It's a health and human service item, and I believe that Senator Rosenwald has a question.
I do. I'm reading the first paragraph of the explanation, and I see that $960,000 of this grant is still unobligated and expended and must be done so in the next 6 weeks. And I wanted to ask the department if they have enough people lined up to be transitioned from institutions by the end of December, and otherwise what will happen to that money.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Senator. This is Karen Round. I just wanted to let the Chair know of a couple of things before I turn it over to Deb Sheets to answer your question, Senator. The Commissioner is unable to join us today. She has other obligations she had to attend to, and Director Ribsom has been able to join us, so item Section 6 does not need to be held to the end of the meeting. And I'll turn it over
okay.
to Deb.
Thank you.
Good morning, Senator Rosenwald. This is Deb Sheets, the Director of Long-Term Supports and Services. And I wanted to explain a little bit about how the department is working with our federal partners with the Money Follows the Person funding money. So between 2008 and 2015, we use money follows the person funding to create what was known as the Community Passport Program, where we work directly with case managers, nursing facilities, and hospitals to transition older adults and people with physical disabilities and those with mental illness from institutional settings to home and community-based settings. During that period of time, we transitioned 308 people successfully. In 2016, what we did is we took the knowledge and the piloting that we did through that, and we incorporated those services into our state plan and into our CFI waiver. So these services are now being covered through transitional case management and through services afforded through the Choices for Independence waiver. So the dollars that we are currently using through Money Follows the Person are not being used for the direct transition of people, but instead are being used for administrative purposes because the New Hampshire Community Passport Program has been retired and has been sustained in the waiver and in state plan. So the administrative dollars that we have in front of you today will be used for work relative to electronic visit verification, a contract we have with the Brain Injury Association to build capacity for community-based mental health support, for work relative to HCPCS setting requirements, and eligibility coordinators. I fully expect that we will expend this remaining money by 12/31, and I am in the process of closing out and providing our closeout report to our federal partners at CMS for 12/31.
Could I briefly follow up, Madam Chair, please? So, Deb, does that mean the department is not going to be any longer transitioning people from institutional settings to the CFI program?
Oh, absolutely not, Senator. What we have done is we have made this part of our regular operations, and it is funded through our state plan, through transitional case management services, and through our CFI waiver. So from 2016 on, this is now part of our waiver services and not a separate program funded through Money Follows the Person. It's part of our Medicaid match through our CFI waiver and through our match through our state plan. So, for example, in 2019, we continued to transfer 19 people. In 2020, we transferred 8 people, and the COVID emergency didn't allow us to transfer as many people as we had hoped. And as of this October, we've transferred 3 people. We continue to work with case management agency, nursing facilities, and hospitals to identify the people who want to transition and work with them to develop individual plans to do so. So we are absolutely looking to provide people the choice to be at their home and in the community as they age or if they have a physical disability or mental complexity.
Thank you.
Representative Wallner, you may be muted, ma'am.
Sorry about that. Trying for the background noise didn't affect everyone. So are there any further questions on this item? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion?
Approval.
That was Senator Rosenwald moved approval of the item.
I'll second the item.
And Senator D'Alessandro, second. And could I ask the clerk to call the roll?
Representative Ford.
Vote yes.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman, yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Wallman.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
The motion passes 10 to 0. Thank you, Representative Weiler. And let's move on now to tab 5. And there's only one item. There's one item here. And this is an item from the Department of Justice.
Leishman moves to pass.
Ford seconds.
Representative Leishman moves to pass the item, and Representative Ford seconds. Any discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none, I will bring none. I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Ford votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman votes yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Motion passes 10 to 0. And let's move on now to tab 6. And we have three items here. Or two, I'm sorry, two items. One item. We're down to one item, okay? And are there any discussion of this item? Do I have a motion, and is there any discussion of the item? Do I have a motion on this one?
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Yes, Senator Rosenwald.
A tough time here.
Senator Rosenwald, go ahead, ma'am. Your line's open.
Hi. Sorry. I did have a couple of questions for Director Ripsom, if he is one. I noticed from the dash, from the dashboard, that there are a number of vacancies at DCYF. I don't know if they're at Sununu, but I'm wondering if they are COVID-related and if that is why there's a need for overtime, whether CARES Act money could be used instead.
Hi, can everyone hear me? This is Joe Ripsom, Director of DCYF.
Thank you, Mr. Ripson.
Hi, I'm in my office alone in Concord. So SYSC, we've had to change the way that we use the physical space in order to create smaller cohorts of youth and to create a separate quarantine space. As a result of that, staffing numbers, we've had to have more staff available than we would in typical times. So I think the answer to the question as to whether there are COVID-related expenses, the answer to that is yes. I think where it gets more complicated is how do we break those things out in ways that are acceptable under the terms of the federal grant, and we're actively working with the folks at Gopher and with our fiscal staff here. I don't know if Karen Rounds would have anything more to articulate about that, about how we might be able to transition some of those costs as COVID-related CARES Act costs. It gets a little complicated because The staff who work on the quarantine unit don't just work on the quarantine unit, but they work at different places throughout the facility based on operational need on a given shift. But yes, there certainly have been kind of increased shifts that have to be covered as a result of having to have smaller cohorts of youth, and as related to having to have a separate unit to quarantine youth upon admission.
And if I could ask another question.
Yes.
My understanding that we're now taking some children from Vermont and charging that state about $1,500 a day. Just curious when that started, what that contract looks like, if it's going to governor and council, and where does the money from Vermont go?
Yeah, so we are discussing with Vermont doing that. I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to say during the contract process because we have such strict rules here, but this isn't kind of a open procurement in the typical way. So I'm a little hesitant to say too much unless somebody can advise me that I'm allowed to. But we are in conversations with Vermont about that. There is an intention to bring that to GNC. The number you cited is around the number that we're talking about for the cost. And I believe ultimately that would also have to come before this committee as well.
Mr. Ripson, this is Mary Jane, and I do have a question also. Do we have any Vermont children there at the community center presently?
No, there's currently no Vermont children there. There was one situation over the summer related to Interstate Compact for juveniles where they were in a crisis situation, and we agreed to temporarily take that youth for a short period of time prior to his 18th birthday. Part of Vermont's challenges – I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask that. I wondered – we aren't there yet, but we're getting closer to getting to the dashboard. When you show the number of youth – that are at the Sununu system, when you show that on the dashboard, are you included? Does that number include any children we have there from out of state?
Yeah, as I said, there was one child over the summer, so that child would be included in the dashboard. But at this moment, there aren't any, right? So there wouldn't be any right now within the data on the dashboard. I do think it's important, and the dashboard is one piece of data that you look at. There's other reports that we share with folks and share with the Office of the Child Advocate, and we could talk about how to share that information with this committee if the committee is interested. And what we're talking about, that if we were to move forward with this partnership with Vermont to help them out, that we would be able to break out those youth so that we don't get confused about the number of youth actually within SYSC from New Hampshire.
Thank you. I think that would be very helpful in the future. If we are going to have children from out of state there, it would be helpful to know how many were from out of state and how many were in state. Thank you.
I'm doing fiscal.
Any further questions? I hear no further questions. So thank you, Mr. Ripson, for joining us. And do I have a motion on this item?
Move the item.
Was that Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes, I'll move the item.
Senator D'Alessandro moves. And Representative Ford seconds. And I'll ask Representative Weiler to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Vote yes.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman, yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Walder.
Yes.
Madam Chair, we have 10 yes, 0 no.
The motion passes 10 to 0. And moving on to item 7, and this is an item from the Department of Justice. Do we have any, does anyone have questions on this item? Hearing none.
Leishman moves approval.
Representative Leishman moves approval.
Second.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
And Senator Rosenwald, second. Any discussion of the item? Hearing none, I ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman, yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Walner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, we have 10 yes, 0 no.
The item passes 0. Moving on to item 8, and this is an item from the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department. Questions about this item?
I would move the item.
Senator Gallagher, the item. You have a second?
Kahn, second.
Senator Kahn, second. Discussion of the item? Hearing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Ford, yes.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman, yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Walner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Thank you, Representative Weiler. The vote is 10 to 0, and the item passes. And now moving on to our last item on the regular calendar is item 9 from the State Treasury. And are there questions about this item?
I would move the item.
I'll second Ford.
Senator D'Alessandro moves the item. Representative Ford seconds. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask Representative Weiler to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Votes yes.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman, yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Walner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Thank you. The item passes. 10 approve the item and none in opposition. And moving on now to informational materials. If you would like any of the informational materials to be further explained, let me know what which one, and we'll mark them and we'll have a discussion about them. Any items that people would like to discuss?
This is Khan. Be interested in a discussion briefly on 2036 regards.
2036. And that's, yes, okay.
That's 2036.
It is a protective workers stipend program.
236, okay. And other...
Senator Rosenwald also has her hand raised.
Okay.
Yes. I have a few questions on the HHS dashboard.
Okay, and that is 233. Okay. Any other informational items that people would like to have discussed? Okay, so we don't have to vote on these, so let's just move right in. Let's start with 233, which is the dashboard. And Senator Rosenwald, would you like to start?
Yes, thank you. My first question is about SNAP. I see that our caseloads are still down between 8 or 10%, and I'm wondering how the department is reaching out to former enrollees to help them re-enroll.
Hi, Senator. Sorry about that. Senator, this is Karen Rounds. Chris Santinella was unable to join us this morning. She's working on a homelessness project this morning. I can certainly take that question to her and get back to you.
Great. Thank you. I also have a question about the community mental health centers caseloads. I noticed that the number of children served at the CMHCs is down. We keep hearing that the children's ER boarding crisis is up, and wonder if the department sees those two things as related. And further, I've seen reports that there are some children being turned away from Hampstead Hospital, and I wonder where those children are going if they have behavioral issues.
So the first question would be a question for Katya Fox, I believe. I'm not sure if she's with us this morning. Fallon, do you see her?
Yep, one moment. Let me just open up her line.
Thank you.
And the second question would be for Heather Moquin at New Hampshire Hospital, and I believe she's on the line as well.
Ketch's line's open.
Thank you. I think Senator Rosenwald has a question.
Yes, I'm wondering what the relationship is to the children's ER boarding, the wait list growing for children in ERs for mental health crises, and how that relates to the declining caseload for children at the community mental health centers.
Katya, I think you're still on mute. Oh, still can't hear her. There must be a technical difficulty there. Fallon, not sure if you can.
Katya's line's open, unless she's muted on her end. But I also just opened up Heather's line, so I'm not sure if Katya wants to try again.
Hi, it's Katya Fox, Director of the Division for Behavioral Health. I was on another call, so I'm sorry, multitasking, and so I missed the question.
The question is, sorry, I noticed that the children's caseload at the community mental health system, which had been up in the 7,000s, is now in the 6,000s the last few months, at the same time that the number of children on a wait list for inpatient beds at Hampstead has been rebounding back to kind of more concerning numbers. And I'm wondering what the department feels is the relationship between fewer children being served in the communities and more children waiting for a bed. But also, we've heard that there are some children being turned away from Hampstead Hospital, and I wonder if you could just elaborate on that.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Some of it I can answer, some of it I cannot. And if Heather Mokwin is here from Hampshire Hospital, she could talk specifically to the Hampstead Hospital piece. We are monitoring the numbers and working very closely with our providers on children's services as well as adult services. And we know that there was an actual increase, as you indicated, with the number of children that were being served by the community mental health centers. I will need to follow up with our Bureau Director, Erica Ungarelli, and with our centers to find out what they believe to be the reason why there has been a drop-off since that initial surge.
And, hi, can you all hear me? This is Heather Mokwin at New Hampshire Hospital.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, good. So just to follow up on the second part of that question, the approach that we have taken for referrals that are declined for Hampstead is that the department is working with either the hospital, the ED director, or the family directly to increase supports if they're needed emergently in the home, or sometimes there needs to be a review to see if there's residential placement needs, even temporarily. And so Erica Ungarelli has been working very closely. I can't speak for her, but often I'm making those connections to her and the department so that we can support those individual cases. And that approach really is the same as it was for New Hampshire Hospital, when New Hampshire Hospital needed to decline an admission.
So are these children who would be going to the PRTF?
Potentially, yes.
Okay. And, Madam Chair, I have just two other questions, if I could. One is,
yes,
on the DD wait list, there's not a report for the first few months of fiscal year 2021, but there is for the ABD wait list. And so I wonder if the department could just follow up with us on the DD wait list. And then I have one other question.
Hi, Senator.
Okay.
This is Karen. I definitely had a formatting error there. I think, as I mentioned in the last committee meeting, those spreadsheets have become a bit unruly, and we're trying to work that out. So I definitely made an error there. But Deb Sheets could speak to the numbers if you want to hear them now.
For now or in follow-up.
Okay.
So, Senator Rosemold, it's Deb Sheets once again. Just to give you an update of what you will be receiving, is as of 9/30/20, all state fiscal year 21 quarter one A's and B's were funded for the developmental disability waiver. There were 85 people, fees, enhancements for services that were waiting on the wait list, but as of November 6, those individuals have been funded as well. In addition, for the ABD waiver and the in-home support waiver, all people are fully funded, and there are zero people waiting for services.
Great. And finally, Madam Chair, on the shelters and institution, the department report on homeless services. I know we've had a real crisis going on in Manchester, and I noticed that in September, the caseload in the shelters is looks like 62% of capacity prior to September's. That caseload was 95% and 93% of capacity. So I wonder if that department could just give an explanation of why we are not putting people in the shelter capacity that we have, but it's getting cold.
Chris Santella would also be the right person to follow up on that, so I will ask her to give you a call with an answer to that question as well.
Thank you so much.
I don't know who has the music on, but maybe we could
start dancing.
Yep,
thank
I think
you.
Someone's put it on hold, and I'm trying to close it down, so bear with me one moment.
Okay, thanks, Alan.
Okay, we should be all set, madam.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been an interesting day for some reason. So are there further questions about the dashboard? Okay, hearing no further.
Madam Chair.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to understand in Table 6, relative to Sununu Youth Center and the populations that are served by it. The good news is census numbers are down. We talked about Hampstead a little bit. I'm wondering, with the committed youth population, how it's between Sununu and Hampstead. I mean, is there some possibility that there's overlap in the services provided?
Is Joe Ripsa still on the line, or Heather might be able to answer that question?
Hi, this is Joe Ripsa, DCYF. I'm still alone in my office in Concord. I assume you can hear me?
Yes.
Thank you.
I can hear you.
I think they really are discrete programs, although certainly I would venture to say all or nearly all of the youth that we serve at SYSC have behavioral health challenges, which is why we have now a full-time psychologist and a part-time psychiatrist working on individualized programming for each of the youth that come into the facility. But I do think they are discrete programs that meet discrete needs, right? SYSC, youth that are committed to SYSC are there as a result of delinquent behaviors, whereas youth who enter Hampstead Hospital are there because they are perceived to be found to be a danger to themselves or others. I don't know if Heather would want to add anything to that.
Yeah, this is Heather at New Hampshire Hospital. I would agree with Joe. They are there has not been overlap that I'm aware of between the kids in these two populations.
Yeah, there have been a couple occasions over the years, both with Hampstead and previously with New Hampshire Hospital, where there were youth at SYSC who presented as enough of a danger to themselves or others to be relocated temporarily to a hospital setting and then to be returned to SYSC after stabilization. That doesn't happen frequently, but it has happened on occasion. But I do think SYSC services are less acute from a treatment perspective than what you would receive in a hospital setting.
Further questions about the dashboard? Okay, hearing none, then let's move on to item 20236, and the Governor's Office of Emergency Relief. And I think Senator Kahn, did you have questions about this one?
I had a question, yes. Somebody.
Is there someone here available?
Yep, Senator Kahn's Taylor Caswell.
Commissioner BA and also Director of GOPR.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Caswell. Senator Kahn, questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner. The type of worker at a healthcare facility covered by this, I think the point that me is that frontline workers are hard to distinguish what is meant in that, and clearly the hours and the demands and the stress on the long-term care facilities, it stretches up and down the totem pole. Constituents here locally don't know the difference between who is and not covered in this program.
So, Senator, I think with this specific program, this was aimed, at least with this item here, was specifically for frontline child protective service workers, probation officers, and some other social workers at HHS. I would point out, though, that we've had other long-term, other sort of, I guess you could qualify as frontline wage stipend programs for in the long-term care industry, and I think also in the first responder side thing. So there are two or three programs that were designed to have some applicability to wage enhancement in order to address some issues we were having with workforce retention during the initial periods of COVID. Does that answer your question?
It was helpful. I think, Madam Chair and Commissioner, I probably should take a conversation with you offline to talk about the coverage in the long-term care facilities.
Absolutely. We'd be happy to do that, Senator.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any further questions on this item? Okay. Seeing none, hearing no questions. Are there any other items that anyone has would like further information on from the informational item? Okay. Hearing none, then I think we can move on to the audit. And I would look to have Representative Weiler make the standard motion to place this on file, and then we can have a presentation at a later date. I think a lot of people here want to get back to the governor's budget meetings, and we could put this on file and take it for a later date. Does that meet with everyone's approval?
Sounds good.
Okay. Any objections to doing that? Okay, then I'm going to ask Representative Weiler to do his standard motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move we accept the report, place it on file, and release in the usual manner. And I guess we have a roll call on that.
And we have to. Yes, we do. You're working hard today, Ken.
I'm ready. I need a second.
Second. Ford.
Second.
Representative Weiler made the motion, and Representative Ford second. And I will ask Representative Weiler to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Vote yes.
Representative Leishman.
Leishman, yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator D'Alessandro. Senator Susi.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse. Representative Wallner.
Yes.
All right, we have 8 yes. They want me to try on see if Senator D'Alessandro or Senator Morse are still here.
We can give it a try. We can give it a try and see if they were muted.
I vote yes. Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Thank you.
D'Alessandro votes
Senator,
yes.
I have it, Lou. Thank you.
Okay.
Senator.
Thanks.
Senator Morse.
It looks like we lost his line. He might have had to jump off.
Madam Chair, we have 9 yes, 0 no.
Motion passes 9-0, and we will take that audit up at a future date. This is our last meeting of this fiscal committee. In December, there will be a new fiscal committee appointed. So I just want to say thank you to all of you who served on the fiscal committee. As I've been the chair, I've enjoyed working with all of you. I think we've worked well together. We haven't always agreed, but I think we've done it in a pretty agreeable way. And I want to thank the LBA for all the work they do to make sure that this runs smoothly. There's a lot of materials that they help us get ready. And Mr. Kane and his staff make this a smooth operation. And the other person that I really want to thank that I don't think we can thank enough is Fallon, who, when we ended up having to go remote, he has made this work for us. I think we were probably the first committee that actually met remotely, and Fallon has really helped us make this work. And I want to give her a big thanks for that work. It will not be returning. Two of the members will not be returning to the House, and that's Representative Ford and Representative Hewitt, who was one of our substitutes in the House. They will neither one of them be returning to the House. And Representative Hennessy is going to be moving over to the Senate. So I want to thank all of them for their service, and I really have enjoyed chairing the fiscal committee. It's been a great 2 years, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So
I don't know
if I might, Madam Chair.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, if I could, just kudos to the chair for a great job. Kudos to Kenny for being the outstanding clerk. He never misses a number, no matter where. And to all of the members of the committee, thank you so much for your due diligence and hard work. To the LBA, to Fallon, who's a miracle worker, to be honest with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, miracles are made every time there's a meeting like this. But to all who served, thank you so much. It's been the most difficult period in all of my years as a member of the legislature, and the legislature's come through with flying colors in terms of working hard to make things happen. And again, my thanks to the chair and to the membership, all of you, for your service, your good work, and I wish you all the best. Stay safe and stay healthy, stay happy. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And please keep the dream alive and well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator D'Alessandro. And I thank you to you for being the vice chair. And a big thanks to Representative Weiler for clerking. I know clerking is not an easy job, and he did a great job. And all of
great.
The roll calls made it even more difficult. So thank you so much. Taking on that job. I will move to adjourn the meeting. And Mr. Kane, I can't remember if we've set the date or that we're going to just wait for the new committee to set the date of the next meeting.
That will be the new committee will set the date of the new meeting after organization day.
Great. So when the new committee is named, then they will set the date for the next meeting. People should watch their calendars for the next meeting date. At this point,
Kenny, don't
I will
miss your record.
Take care, everybody.
I will adjourn the meeting.
So long.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So long.
Bye. Have to thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.